Welcome back to Made in March. Today is Monday, February 8th, and we would like to apologize on behalf of Made in March Nation. It has been over a week since we last recorded. 8 days.
8 days. We apologize.
We apologize. Deeply. We deeply apologize, because it's not like there weren't good games going on. There were
plenty.
There were some great slates, especially last Tuesday and Saturday. But we're here now. We promise to be better. And because it's a Monday, Alex, do you want to get into the AP Top 25 poll? It's actually pretty interesting today, I thought, when I looked at it.
Yeah, so the poll just dropped today. Obviously, Gonzaga and Baylor still 1 and 2. They're both undefeated. Ohio State jumps up 3 spots to number 4. They are arguably the hottest team in college basketball right now.
Agreed. Yep, I agree. They're on the 1 line now for, I think, most tournament projections.
When's the last time Ohio State lost? It's got to be at least 3 weeks.
And they've played tough teams.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, oh, they're just squeaking by, like, Gonzaga in the WCC or something like that.
Nova drops out of the 3 spot after suffering a disappointing loss to the Johnnies.
The Johnnies are always there to just spoil somebody's
day. Low-key, don't look now. Johnnies have actually been playing kind of
nice
lately.
They might be ranked soon.
Posh
Watch
Alexander is a name to know.
Name to know, 100%.
And then Illinois and Texas Tech coming in at 6 and 7. They both jumped up 6 spots. Missouri jumps up 8 spots after knocking off red-hot Alabama. They give Bama their
first
loss.
They get back to 10? Or?
SEC play, yep, they're 10th. Texas is one of our big fallers. They dropped to 13. Also, Iowa down 7 spots to 15.
Yeah, both of those
deserving.
You can see coming, yeah.
And then some teams new to the rankings this week. We got USC, Loyola Chicago, Oklahoma State, and Rutgers.
Rutgers getting back in it. That's what I love to see. However, the name that jumped off the page for me there, and I'm sure it did for you guys as well, Loyola Chicago.
They're ranked.
Did any of us expect that? Any of us see that? I know Alex
Probably
been a big
not.
Fan of them,
I think
but I did
like
not
a,
see them being ranked.
They're still like a 4-loss team.
I know, and they're in the Missouri Valley,
NBC.
No less.
I mean, the MVC is really competitive this year.
But that's not what put it... I mean, that's not why they have 4
exactly.
losses. It's I think it's because they're out of conference.
Out of
was
conference.
Decently tough.
Yes, especially for a mid-major.
Listen, I'm a huge mid-major guy. I think we all are. But I got to say, that one came out of right field.
Yep, 100%. I think Drake deserved it when they were in.
Yeah.
But...
Is Drake still ranked, correct?
They're not ranked.
They're not ranked.
Because
they
suffered their first loss.
To...
Valpo.
Valpo, that's what it was. Yep.
Brock Pappas.
Has
so
a word.
Basically, they flipped. I think Drake was like 23rd. They're now out, and Loyola's up to 22. So
damn, if we could have got 2 Missouri Valley teams ranked,
that would have been nuts.
That would have been nuts.
But I think that wraps up the top 25 recap. Now getting back into games to recap here on Monday, February 1st. So
exactly a week.
Exactly
ago.
A week ago. Only game really.
We'll fly through some of these older ones because they are.
Yeah.
Almost ancient history now, but there are still some ones we definitely do have to mention.
From Monday, just have to mention Texas Tech, 13 at home, defeats Oklahoma, who was number 9 in the nation at this time, 57-52.
We do have to note, though, Oklahoma did not have Austin Reeves for that game.
Correct.
He was still in the COVID protocol, which is a huge loss for them.
But still, Oklahoma putting up a huge fight. And I mean,
McClung, though, he went 0-for-7 for Texas Tech.
It was a rough game for McClung.
It was a rough game for McClung. You don't see
Shannon
that too often.
Stepped up. I mean, they shot 33% from the field. That's all you need to know about Texas Tech, and they won this game. So I think that's credit to their defense, but also credit to, I guess, Austin Reeves not being there. I think with Austin Reeves, Oklahoma wins this game because Texas Tech played like garbage.
Yeah, I think so too.
They played like garbage.
You can count on him for at least 3 buckets. That's all they would have needed, really.
Fair.
If you want to look at it that way.
Yeah. But that was really the only game from Monday. Sorry. So moving into Tuesday, just have to mention Marquette beats Butler. Congrats, Barkhead, for getting away.
Are they above 500?
Not anymore after their
so,
most recent loss.
After most
oh,
recent
no.
one. And then Maryland at home defeats Purdue, which at this time Purdue was ranked.
And this 61, was
61-60. And this was a great game.
Very
back and forth
game.
all game.
Maryland's going to be making the big dance this year.
I agree.
They've got enough wins on their resume.
That are good. Like the Wisconsin
good.
Win on the road was
yeah.
incredible. So,
But what really did it for Maryland was Eric Ayala. Experienced,
yes.
I think he's a junior. He hit 2 clutch free throws with about 3 seconds left. He got fouled.
Yep.
Went to the line.
It's kind of a wild game.
It was a wild ending. He hit 2 really clutch free throws. They won by 1 point. So
also Maryland, just in general, in the second half, they shot the ball really well from 3. Aaron Wiggins and, as you mentioned, Eric Ayala. They hit some big 3s in the second half, which led Maryland to the victory.
And then moving on to probably one of the best Big 12 games of the year, Baylor at Texas, and Baylor whoops up on Texas, 83-69.
Dominated.
Whooped them.
Shout out Davion Mitchell. What did he have that game?
He was a sniper. I know
he popped off that TV screen.
Yeah. Davion Mitchell had 27, but it was also Jared Butler. Jared Butler was extremely efficient, 2-8 of 15 from the field. And
yeah.
It was 52% from three. You're not losing many games.
I'm starting to almost side with the take that Baylor's the best team.
Then Gonzaga. I mean, there is literally no question of the top two teams. It's just the debate between the two.
Yeah, but
so.
Baylor, I mean, they've given no reason to doubt.
That's true. I think their defense is a little bit superior, but you can say Gonzaga's offense is also superior. So, like, I don't know. It would just be an absolute point
Baylor's guard
toss.
Play is...
But
it's
so is
so amazing.
But so is Gonzaga's. That's the issue.
But here's the thing: is Baylor's guards play both ways, and the Zags guards are just high-powered offense.
I disagree, though. I think they play medium.
But I would argue the Zags have a better offense overall. So this is one of those games where
it's a coin toss. It's an absolute coin toss.
I
want
to see them play one-on-one.
And they were supposed to.
I can't believe that game got canceled.
That was the most disappointing cancellation in the season.
Nonsense.
Nonsense. Agreed. But moving on to some more Big Ten play. Iowa at home defeats Michigan State barely. 84-78. Michigan State kept it tight the whole game.
They did. They were up a good amount of the game, at least most of the first half for sure.
Yeah.
Tito, our boy Aaron Henry, 4 for 5 from three.
Yeah.
That's not his normal stat line, but he can. He has it in his bag when he needs it.
Yeah, fair point.
And also credit Luca Garza. He surpassed the 2,000-point mark at Iowa in his career. So that's an incredible accomplishment.
Yeah, he's a monster.
And moving on to one of the most fraudulent, if not the most fraudulent, SEC team, the Tennessee Volunteers, lose on the road to Ole Miss 52-50. Tennessee defense is very, very good. Their offense is horrific.
This was just so sad on every level, not really because we like Tennessee, but for those of you that follow us on social media, we actually mentioned it last episode. Every Super Tuesday and Saturdays, when we feel like there's a lot of games, we put out a parlay for you guys that we think has a good chance of hitting and that you can bet on. And it was looking really good until this U10 versus Ole Miss game when literally I think in our parlay it was literally like just all Tennessee had to do was win by three. It seemed like almost like a no-brainer.
Yeah, they were up like 7 the whole game.
Yeah,
and
just Tennessee stinks. And then I got into a bunch of Twitter arguments with Tennessee fans afterwards saying that they're not going to get into the tournament.
Yeah.
They're like, are you kidding me? Our defense. I was like, you can talk about your defense all you want. Your offense needs to step up every once in a while.
Exactly. Their offense is impossible to watch, in my opinion. I really don't think they have opportunity to make a run if they can't even have a sufficient offense, let alone like one that's going to make some noise and get them far in the tournament. So
yeah, Tennessee's freshmen really need to step up. Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer have not been playing well as of late.
Yeah, not good. And then moving on, we have West Virginia on the road against Iowa State. Just have to mention this because Iowa State kept it close, and Iowa State is a two-win team. West Virginia wins 76-72 on the road in Lames.
We kind of actually called this with Iowa State.
I know. We've said it like...
We've said Iowa State, they stink,
but
they don't...
They're prone to keep games close.
But they're athletic enough where they're going to, like, sometimes keep games closer than you might expect them to. And this was a prime example of that.
100%, yeah. Iowa State, I mean... They're not making the tournament. They're not winning any games. They're not making the NIT. They're a two-win team. But they're always, I mean, they're competitive most games. You have to give them that credit. You got to give credit where credit's
not most games, but there's some games where they come out with, like,
fire
and their athleticism shows, I would say.
Fair.
I also want to say, this might be a bold take, but I think West Virginia might have maybe the most underrated backcourt in college basketball with Taz Sherman and Miles McBride.
I think Miles McBride himself is one of the most underrated players
but
in all of college
Taz
basketball.
Taz Sherman has been also playing incredible as of late.
Yeah.
Although Miles McBride's downfall is that he's very inconsistent.
With shooting,
Yes, offensively.
He's had a very nice year, though. He's
taken a huge step forward. I actually, last year, he was kind of like one of those under-the-radar guys that I would hype up a lot.
Yeah.
That was like a huge Miles McBride guy last year.
Like a lookout for him kind of guy.
Yeah, and it's him stepping up has actually made me look pretty good, I won't lie.
Fair point. And then some more Big Ten play. 12, Illinois, on the road against Indiana, goes into OT, but Illinois squeaks it out 75-71.
Illinois kind of knows how to win.
They know how to win.
This was quite possibly Iowa's worst game of the season, too.
Fair. And they still won.
You think he had like 10, 11
And he followed
points.
Out with like 4 minutes left in the game or something like that.
He didn't play in OT at all.
He followed out with a lot of time left. They still won. I think that's a credit to...
And credit to Curbelo, who came in. Mm-hmm. Also, Trent Frazier stepped up big. He had a couple big threes coming down the stretch.
Yep.
Trent Frazier's been stepping up a good amount as of late.
He's been shooting the ball really well.
And they need him, too.
Luke pointed this out. Damonte Williams didn't hit one. He didn't hit a three in this game, but Damonte Williams is shooting 59.5% from three this year coming off the bench.
He's the best He's the best 3-point shooter in college basketball.
And I mean, that's you could have like given me 10 guesses, like, I would not have guessed.
I know, I heard about that like a month ago, and I never like really wanted to mention it because I'm like, I don't know if it's gonna, he's going to stay consistent with this, but yeah, he's the best 3-point shooter in college basketball. That's incredible to shoot over 50% from three. It's insane. But that pretty much wraps up our games from Tuesday. Moving into Wednesday, Houston suffers a loss on the road against East Carolina, 82-73. It's a pretty, that's a bad loss.
Alex, I feel like you might need to like...
That's a bad loss.
You might need to give us some answers because, you know, someone was asking for your betting advice off air and you said put a good amount of money on Houston in that game and it did not work out.
I'm going to look directly at Quentin Grimes for this one.
That's a good eye direction.
You talk about Miles McBride being inconsistent. Quentin Grimes might be more inconsistent.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I mean, the thing is when Miles McBride isn't shooting well, I feel like he generally doesn't, like, huck up bad shots, but Quentin Grimes...
I don't know if I'd say that, but when he's not shooting well, he still is good in other facets of the game.
He's a good defensive player,
which helps. Yes, but here's what Quentin Grimes does. He's...
Stinks it off. He stinks the defense.
He's shoot and shoot and shoot, and he's... Usually you say shoot to get hot, shoot to stay hot.
Yeah.
But he was...
Marcus Sasser does the same thing too, so it's not just Quentin Grimes. It's him and Sasser kind of combined, and if they're both off, there's going to be a lot of misses if they're both off.
And, I mean, this East Carolina team is dead last in the AAC, and
that's a pretty impressive feat because the AAC ain't that good.
Yep, and they pull off just an insane upset, a top-5 win for a nobody school.
And also I'm sure all the fans there at East Carolina are absolutely loving this news, so...
Also, it was pretty cool. So, they obviously, no fans, they couldn't storm the court.
Yeah.
They put the cardboard cutouts on the court after.
They throw them all out
there. It's kind of cool.
That's kind of sick, yeah.
But, yeah, Houston, we just hyped them up on the last episode, too, how they were kind of flying under the radar a little bit.
ECU is like a Walmart version of the rambling wreck of Georgia Tech.
They're just balling for a couple upsets.
Random upset every, like, blue moon.
Yeah.
And people are just stunned by it.
Yep.
I think it goes, like, upset teams... Number one, Johnny's. Number two, Johnny's Rambling Wreck. Number three is now East Carolina.
They're now in the conversation for sure. But moving on from that game, some SEC action. Alabama does it again to LSU. Absolutely annihilates them. 78-60.
They just can't beat this team.
They can't.
They can't hang with this team.
I think if they played a 10-game series, Alabama would win all 10. Because Alabama is literally a better offensive and defensive team than LSU. Like, they play the same way.
Yeah,
LSU
they do.
Is a huck it, huck it, huck it from three. Alabama's huck it from three, but they make
but
them.
They're better.
LSU doesn't. And Alabama plays actually a little bit of defense. LSU literally plays no defense.
LSU just punts on the whole aspect of playing defense.
They're the Iowas of the SEC.
We know Cam Thomas is a great scorer, but if you watch this man play defense, he just stands there and watches. That's all he does. He stands there and watches. He's a spectator
on defense.
The only guy that really plays defense for LSU is Javonte Smart. Maybe a little bit of Trenton Watford.
Shout out
here and there.
No hair, don't care.
No hair, don't care. Javonte Smart's just about the only guy that plays defense for LSU, and that is, they're not going to win any games in the tournament.
No,
none.
If they even make it,
that's a great point. Pittsburgh at the Zoo defeats number 16 Virginia Tech. Sorry, not Georgia Tech. I had Georgia Tech on my mind. Virginia Tech, 83-72.
Yeah, you know,
Pitt with another statement win, I'd say.
Pitt's not a bad team.
They're not.
It's kind of cool to see Pitt come back because if you remember, like over like 10 years ago, Pitt was like always like a one or a two seed in the Big Dance
with Jamie Wright back in the the Big East.
Yeah.
Who else did they used to have that one guy? Paul something. Don't remember his name, but he was good.
Not Paul Scruggs.
They also had Brad Wanamaker.
Yep, they did.
Throwback Pitt teams.
But Virginia Tech, they shot 30% from three, which for them is not, it's not great, but it's not like awful. Pitt just got it done.
Yeah.
And you got to hand it to Pitt because they beat a decent Virginia Tech team.
And it was their guy off the bench, Xavier Johnson, dropped 32 points for Pitt.
Dropping 32 points off the bench is a pretty impressive feat.
That's an impressive feat because...
I mean, he did play 36 minutes, so he only sat 4 minutes.
Even still.
Still.
Yeah, it's fair. Missouri at home defeats Kentucky, Big Blue Nation, 75-70. Kentucky is now 5-11 after this game they were, and their shot at making the tournament is pretty much dead.
They need to win the conference tournament. That's the only way they can get into the Big Dance.
Oh, yeah, probably.
100%.
It's the only chance.
That's fair, but Kentucky is... The ship has officially sunk, I would say, on that.
Yeah.
But...
How... Okay, as long as we're on the topic of Kentucky...
Yes.
How do we think Coach Calipari bounces back from this?
As in next year.
As in next year. Like, I know that he's going to get the recruits, but he got the recruits this year.
Well, look what Roy Williams has done. Roy Williams had his arguably shittiest season of his entire... Or not even arguably. The shittiest season of his career.
Last year.
And followed it up this year with...
Another stinker.
Another stinker.
Not as bad, obviously. As bad. And they like at least they've got a chance to make the Big Dance.
They're above 500, but they're not that good. They're still like a 9-10 loss team.
It'll be interesting to see how all these blue bloods bounce back. I tend to think they more or less all will. But when there's eight people without Kansas, Duke, Kentucky, or North Carolina, that's something kind of unprecedented in college
basketball.
That
attracts a lot of eyes.
Yeah.
It's...
Maybe we're seeing like sort of like a change in the blue blood, sort of changing it to Gonzaga.
I would love to see Gonzaga be a blue blood.
But I'll really like to see how Kentucky bounces back next year because they stink.
We'll also have to see who comes back because honestly, we know BJ Boston's having an awful year, but the scouts in the NBA seem to love him. So I assume he'll go pro.
For what reason, I do not know.
We have no idea.
But then you'll have to see what some of their other big freshmen do, like Isaiah Jackson, Devin Eskew, who are both not having good years. We'll have to see if they come back.
Yeah, they very well could, though.
I tend to think they probably will
come back. I think they will.
I think they're smart enough.
Because if I'm an NBA team, I wouldn't want to draft either of those guys. Yeah.
What drives me nuts is when those guys... are freshmen or sophomores, they have years left of eligibility, and they go to the league, don't get drafted, and then end up with, like, nothing. When they had could have stayed, proved themselves more, raising
their... Those are the guys that are afraid to bet on themselves.
Yes.
Gardner Minshew, if you bet on yourself, you'll never lose.
Bingo.
Inspirational quote for
inspirational. But moving on to probably, for sure, the upset of the night, maybe the game of the night, the Johnnies at home defeat Villanova 70-59.
Say it, Alex.
I should have picked my Johnnies, man. I should have picked the Johnnies. I knew it was a trap game for Nova.
The Johnnies.
The Johnnies have been playing so well.
Josh Alexander, what can't you say about him, really?
Certified stud. Certified stud.
They've now won six in a row. Posh Alexander's top five in the nation in steals. I mean,
that's insane.
He can score. This Johnny's team is quite spooky.
Very spooky. Mm-hmm. I'd say they could...
What's their record?
12-7. After that game, they're 12-7.
Dude.
They're dancing
right now. What if the Johnnies just keep winning?
They're going to be dancing a lot. They're going to be dancing a lot.
Oh, man.
Because now they got that signature win.
Yeah.
They're dancing right now,
I'd
say.
That's a resume as it sits. Staple. Like, that's like their rock in their resume.
Look, that counts as like... Oh, I don't know. It's...
We're just getting hyped about the Johnnies. Strictly for Alex's sake.
Really. I would love to see the Johnnies in the tournament.
I would love to see the Johnnies.
It'd be incredible.
And like win two games and get to the Sweet 16. Oh, that would just be incredible.
Just see Posh just go off.
That would just be, you'll love to see it. But some more Big East action. Georgetown, notable garbage team, defeats Creighton on the road. Creighton was at home in this game, 86-79.
Creighton equals frauds, and we've been saying it for quite some time.
More than Tennessee, are you willing to go?
No.
Yes.
Really?
More than Tennessee.
I think they're damn close, though.
At least Tennessee's got some semblance of defense.
Fair.
I don't know what Creighton has to hang their hat on. You know, a good shooting night for Mitch Balick, one out of every 4 days? I don't know.
7 threes, yeah.
Yeah.
I will not be picking Creighton to win a game in March.
I will not either.
I just can't do it. And then Virginia beats NC State on the road, 64-57, just mentioning that because... Virginia, I feel like it's been kind of on the ups of the past couple weeks, so fair to mention. But that wraps up the games from Wednesday, moving into Thursday now. Game of the night was for sure Ohio State on the road against Iowa at Carver Hawkeye, defeating them 89-85. This was a great game.
It was.
Great game.
I think the real difference was that Ohio State was just like a little bit more aggressive down low. They won the rebound battle.
Which is weird because Luka Garza and Iowa, just in general, are a bigger team than Ohio State.
They contain Garza really well in the second half,
Ohio State's just so physical.
E.J. Liddell plays so much bigger than he actually is.
E.J. Liddell's one of those guys, when you're playing 5-on-5 basketball with random people, like pickup, it's like you want him on your team. You don't want to be going against him.
Mm-hmm.
You just do not want to be going against him.
He also probably has the best mid-range jumper in the Big Ten.
It's incredible. Also... Kyle Young, when it was he was bodying Luka Garza very well. And that's kind of like what he is. He's kind of like the scrappy down low guy. But he was giving Luka Garza some work, and it was fun to watch. Because I love watching Kyle Young play, and Alex over here disagreed for a while.
I just didn't think he was that good last year.
Yeah, but last year is last year. This year is this year, and it's a completely different story.
True. In the past.
But yeah, this Iowa team has now lost, what, 4 games in a row?
Was Luke
correct? No, they've lost 4 out of their last 5. But, I mean, I still like this Iowa team. I mean, J-Bo's really inconsistent.
Mm-hmm. I feel like teams have sort of found out how to limit Luka Garza. Not yes. contain him, yes. limit.
The first half of the year, I would say no. But now, like, as we've moved into late January,
they
February,
just do a collapse, and they don't, like, they just swarm him so he can't pass the ball out to the three-point shooters.
But even when he does, Iowa has been pretty shit from the three-point
line. They have
line.
Not. Yeah, that's one of their garbage. That's one of their calling cards right next to Luka Garza, and they haven't been hitting him as of late.
Especially like J-Bo, he like had like a stretch of a couple games where he was knocking down. Even like Wieskamp, Frederick's still hurt, so that's really killer for
him. I will pin the blame on Wieskamp a lot. I feel like he's had a lot of subpar stat lines. I don't know what his was that game. Was it?
He played pretty well.
He played well that game.
Yeah,
okay.
He matched up good.
I'm not going to all pin it on J-Bo. I feel like Luke and a lot of Iowa fans tend to just, like, throw the blame on J-Bo for no reason. Like, yeah, he has off nights.
I think it's the team around guard that's not playing well.
Oh, mm-hmm. I think the McCaffrey bros are both
soft.
They stink. When Toussaint's in there, I mean, he's not a shooter around Luka Garza.
Exactly.
Obviously, he does his things well. He's
both
a decent
McCaffrey
facilitator.
Not be on the
but
field.
He can't shoot when Luka Garza's in who kicks it out.
Yeah.
And Nungy's actually been playing pretty well.
Nungy's been playing well, yeah, but it's... If Nungy's on the floor, you can't have Garza. It's the same thing.
Yeah, if one of your positives on your team is that Jack Nungy's playing well, then you've got maybe some problems because Jack Nungy's not really a key piece, in my opinion.
Yeah, they need him to play some minutes well, but no, they don't need it consistent.
Where do you guys see Iowa being seated come March? Because Luke thinks
seven
they're
right
gonna
now.
Go. They're gonna keep dropping.
Yeah,
the
Luke's
to like a 7.
One of the most pessimistic people I know in the entire world.
That's
however,
a little bit of unnecessary slander.
However, he's been right about Iowa for the past few weeks.
Yeah.
He's been saying this for quite some time, that they're not as good as people think.
I don't think they're going to hit a 7 line, though.
I'm thinking more like a
4 or 5. 4 or 5, probably.
Iowa's going to, they're going to bounce back and get some good wins.
They're
talented
not just
enough
gonna
to do
keep,
that.
They're just not going to keep, like, falling, I'd say. So, we'll see. Later in that night, though, another Big Ten game. Rutgers at home defeats Minnesota.
What
a
game.
Helping, pushing them into their...
What a
no,
game. I need spot. To, like, profess my love for Miles Johnson. I mean, 7 of 8 field goals, 12 boards, and he was in foul trouble for a good portion of that game.
Yeah.
He is a menace. He's a menace down low.
He's
another
menace.
One of those guys where it's, if you're playing 5-on-5s, you want him on your team. You don't want to guard him at all. And also, I just got to throw it in there that Geo Baker, I mean, he's not shooting as much this year as he is in years past, and that's why his numbers are sort of down a little bit.
Yep.
But he's been rather efficient as of late, and
as
in the last
yes.
few minutes, he hit some clutch jump shots that really reminded me of the good old Geo Baker of years past.
Fair to point out. Fair. And that was pretty much the only other game from Thursday night. Thursday night's normally not a big college basketball night, but Friday... Penn State defeats Maryland, kind of two low Big Ten teams.
Yeah, if you watch this game, I apologize for your eyeballs because they got violently tormented because this game was not fun to watch.
Violently tormented. That's just a phenomenal way to put it. I absolutely love that one. But some Mountain West action. You got to mention this.
Some Mwaction.
Nevada at home defeats Boise State, handing them, I think that was their third loss of the season, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know.
I think it was their third loss. Boise State is not. They looked pretty invincible throughout January.
They did.
And arguably probably December as well. But
starting to drop a few.
They're now third in the conference standings behind Utah State and a half game behind Colorado.
And this Nevada team is nothing to write home about. So, you know, not a great loss.
The Martin Bros are not there anymore.
No, correct. And no Musselman. Another good point. But that's it from Friday. Friday night, not another big college basketball night. But Saturday. Phenomenal slate.
We bueno.
Started off with Oklahoma getting a close one against Iowa State, 79-72. Again,
Iowa State
hanging hold tough. I think Austin Reeves is back for this game.
He was.
He was back, okay. Yes. I think, he played well. But Brady Manick kind of needs to step. He had 15 rebounds in this game, but his offensive game, I think he needs to take more shots personally.
Yes, dude. When Brady Manick kind of gets going, when his confidence is up, he's a really nice player.
He's really... He's a great defensive player, in my opinion, but I feel like he just needs to get some confidence and shoot the ball more.
Yes, I agree, 100%.
But this Oklahoma team is going places, though.
I agree.
I tend to agree.
I am liking this team a lot. But Missouri honestly gets their biggest statement win of the year, in my opinion, defeating Alabama at home 68-65. Like, Mizzou, I'm like, I have no idea what to think of this Mizzou team.
Alex can tell you. He'll just say Pinson and Tillman, and he'll just leave it at that. Am I right, Alex?
Missouri, they play at their own pace. They'll slow you down. They're a solid defensive team. They got some scores. Not the best shooting team, but
no. They
play to their strengths, and they held off a late Bama charge.
Yeah, I was just about to say, Bama almost had an insane comeback.
And they should have finished it off.
20-something.
21-2 run at one point. I think they had a lead at one point.
No, they did not. They never got the lead. They were down two. And
they had a chance to tie. Was this an insane play? And who was it? Who missed the
three? The three in the corner? Or was it
No, it was the layup.
The guy had a left. I think it was something Jones.
Yes.
Was it Jones?
Yes, it was.
Harrison Jones?
It was Herbert Jones.
Herbert Jones. Not Harrison.
Yep, the big lefty.
Yes.
He had just like a wide open layup to his left hand, and he missed it.
A minor.
And that was when they were down only 1 point.
I think one or two, yeah. So it would have been a tie, or they would have had the lead.
Yeah.
For sure. And blew it. Absolute selling on that. Because Alabama was firing back. I think they hit, like, Petty hit a couple threes in the last couple minutes, and it looked like the good old Alabama team, because Alabama did not look like themselves throughout pretty much the entire game until that run. So.
Yeah.
I mean, their first loss in SEC play.
And
they were about to lose
It's to a solid Missouri team, so.
Mm-hmm.
I still love this Bama team.
Well, I do, too.
I feel like Bama's going to be, like, the sexy Final Four pick that everyone picks in March Madness.
Like, as like examples of, like...
Like, there'll be, like, a three seed.
Yes, like,
and
the Michigan
everyone's gonna,
stuff,
and
like,
everyone's going to pick Bama in the Final Four. All right, apologies. We had some technical difficulties there, but, yeah, Bama's legit. I think we all know that.
100%, yeah. They're for real. Moving on, some Big East play. Seton Hall defeats UConn on the road. Just want to mention this because I think James Bouknight is now not... He was not back for this game, but I think he's... back.
Yeah, I don't.
In the game after.
Yeah, so after that game, I heard like some reporters say Bouknight should be back
soon,
possibly for the next game.
Hopefully, because they need him bad.
Yeah.
And I think they could make a little bit of noise if.
UConn with and without Bouknight is a completely different team. UConn without Bouknight, it's like I don't watch them.
They're mediocre at
best.
In a bad Big East.
But with Bouknight, I think they're a top 25 team. Potentially.
I think so too. They can be electric with him.
Fair point. And then some Big 12 action here. West Virginia at home defeats Kansas, which this is what knocked Kansas out of the top 25 fish.
What a fall from grace for Kansas, by the way.
Yeah. 91-79 final score in favor of West Virginia.
Also, when Alex maybe pushes the narrative that Miles McBride has off nights, which I agree with to an extent, games like these are why I push back on any Miles McBride slander.
Hey,
because
I never slander Miles McBride.
What a game. 29-7-8? Oh, my goodness.
4 or 5 from three. That's rare. Miles McBride normally doesn't have a good three-point kind of night, but he was firing today.
Yeah.
On that day, yes, he was. And West Virginia is a scary team if Miles McBride's dropping that many points with that kind of line.
Mm-hmm.
They are scary.
You know what you're going to get from Derek Culver. He's going to give you 12 to 17 normally and 11 to 12 rebounds.
Yeah.
Like, Derek Culver's just a beast. Double machine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the guard play for West Virginia that if they're playing well, West Virginia can make an incredibly deep run.
I didn't even know who you were talking about there for a second. You were just bouncing around. But yeah, I got you 100%. And if you would have said at the beginning of the year that it's really like their guard play that sticks out, people would have been like, really? That's odd because
they Derek
have Culver and
Culver.
But obviously, Oscar Shibue left. And Derek Culver's still a beast. Let's not kid ourselves.
He did have like a double-double in the first half of a game ago.
Yeah.
So can't forget about him.
Yeah.
But a big man you can't forget about is Kofi Coburn in Illinois, who defeat Wisconsin by 15 at home, 75-60.
Yeah. I don't think we mentioned the game that Wisconsin played on like Wednesday. They beat Penn State,
yeah. They beat them by like 17.
Good revenge win for Wisconsin.
Yeah,
but this game, we got dominated. I mean,
dominant performance from Io and Kofi.
It was literally Io and Kofi versus the world. I think Io and Kofi had like 18 in the first like 20-something, 24 points. It was just like
Io had a triple-double.
Yeah.
Nobody on Wisconsin can match Kofi's
size and
combo strength. Of physicality. Yeah, physicality and size. Nobody can.
I mean, there's you just look at the rebounding numbers. In college basketball, I think we tweeted something out. Illinois out rebounded Wisconsin 46-19.
That's a 27 rebound advantage in the Big Ten.
That is
how does that happen?
Okay.
The fact that it was only a 15-point game based off of that differential is honestly mind-boggling.
Is Wisconsin even ranked in this new AP Top 25?
They are. They are. They're 23.
And, you know, for a few weeks now, we've sort of been saying, you know, the Badgers, they really need to get their feet under them, just find their groove, and they'll be better.
And they haven't.
But they got some problems that they need to fix
immediately. Trice is playing well, and that's it.
You know, the problem.
Well, Trice had 0 points in the Penn State game.
Well, thankfully they didn't need him against Penn State.
But I'm sort of starting to buy into the what seemed like a really weird take that Wisconsin might be too old.
Yes. I said that like a couple weeks ago.
As a joke,
like,
yeah.
Not as a joke, but like I meant it, but like I didn't think it was going to come to fruition.
I'm starting to almost buy into that take because I heard an announcer say that Greg Gard said seniors are the toughest to coach because they've been playing for so long, they know how to do it their way, that when you tell them to change something, they're just so reluctant.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that all Wisconsin guys are like that. I'm just saying when you have five seniors in your starting lineup, there's a lot of pros, but I think the cons might be starting to seep forward for the Badgers.
Yeah. I mean, obviously experience is killer in March, and we'll see if that plays out with Wisconsin because obviously they're going to make the tournament, but I don't know. Right now the trend is down bad for the Badgers right now. It's not – I don't know how they're going to – they're a streaky team, I will say that. They're a very streaky team. If they come into the Big Ten tournament hot and they continue and stay hot into the Big Ten tournament, into the Big Dance, I think they can really make a lot of noise, but they're a very streaky team. And if they're off, they could get bounced first round easily. So it's kind of all, I guess, depending on how they're playing going into the Big Dance and into the Big Ten tournament. But
I don't want to see what our campus would look like if the Badgers lose first round of March Madness. That would not be a fun time.
Wisconsin sports have just been killer this year.
That's a knife to the gut.
Last thing I need.
Yeah.
The last thing I need. But moving on to some Big 12 games. Oklahoma State, double OT, defeats Texas 75-67. Okie State's for real.
They are. Yes.
They're for real.
And honestly, I didn't mention them in the midseason awards podcast for the award most fun team to watch. By the end of the season, they might have taken that crown for me. I really love the way they play.
They are explosive. They create a lot of highlight plays, mm-hmm. and they defeat high-ranked teams along the way. It's just like a perfect combo of a fun team to watch.
Yeah, so this game went to double OT. Texas did not make a single field goal in either OT period, so credit to Oak State's defense. Their only points came from the foul line.
I'm telling you, Okie State plays very aggressive, and that's why I like them so much. Also, like to shout out Khalib Bone. He was 8 for 13 from the field with 22 points. Cade Cunningham was rather inefficient.
He did hit two big threes, though.
Yeah. Because I was just about to say, he has that ice water in his veins.
Absolutely.
He's like one of the more clutch players.
He's like a Geo Baker, Ayo Dosunmu kind of player where in the last few minutes you want the ball in his hands.
Cade Cunningham's, I think, top five clutch player in the nation, I'd say.
And as a freshman, no less.
And as a freshman, that's an impressive feat, although he is the top-ranked freshman. But still, as a freshman, a very impressive feat.
This one is what got Oak State to be ranked this week.
Yes, this is 100% it. Although they've been hot recently, which also helped play into it. Virginia at home against Pittsburgh defeats them 73-66. Virginia that's just like a classic Virginia win, if you ask me. They've been popping out classic Virginia wins. 5-point wins against...
To your dismay.
To my dismay. Full dismay.
Is Virginia your least favorite team in college basketball?
100%. There's no way around it. I was a fan of Virginia 2 years ago. When they were at an offense.
Okay, that's because they had like 3 to 4 NBA players. They were fun to watch.
Kyle Guy, Ty Jerome, DeAndre Hunter.
But man,
that was fun.
Ty Jerome is fun to watch operate.
My favorite. Oh my God.
He was like a college Steve Nash out there, just like dishing the ball.
And then Kyle Guy hitting the big shots.
Oh.
Nothing.
Not forgetting about DeAndre Hunter, possibly their best player.
Yeah.
That was a fun team.
That was really
fun. But this team is a far cry from that.
Oh, yes, 100%. Purdue was ranked at 24th this time, defeats Northwestern only by 5, 75-70. Northwestern is 4 games under 500. And what? The tale of two halves this season. It's just hilarious for them.
Yeah, it is.
It's laughable.
Zach Edey off the bench played really well on this one. They're 7'4 freshmen.
Yep. They always have one of those guys, 7'4 monsters. Like, Haas.
He'll take Travion's place in a couple years, because I think Travion's only a junior, if I'm not mistaken.
Junior, yes, true. I think he's a true junior, not a redshirt. But nonetheless, this Purdue team, I do like this Purdue team, although it's a 5-point win still. I'm a fan of this Purdue team.
I am too. What did I say last episode? I said that I think that they're you said this, I think. Purdue sneaky final Elite Eight?
Elite Eight kind of.
Something like that.
They're a sneaky Elite Eight team.
I could hop on that train.
Get on board. Creighton on the road barely defeats Marquette, 71-60. I think that's all you need to know about Creighton right there.
Screw Creighton.
That's all you need to know. This is a terrible Marquette team. They beat him by three. That's all you need to know, in my opinion. Nothing to look for in that Creighton team. But moving on to some later games in the day. Tennessee on the road against Kentucky defeats them 82-71. Good bounce back win for Tennessee here. But still, I mean, this Big Blue Nation team's not that good. I don't know how to think about Tennessee credit, though.
They stayed in this one. Kentucky had the lead for, like, probably three quarters of that game.
Yeah.
But then, like, in that last 10 minutes,
yep.
Tennessee's offense just started clicking.
They're two freshmen that they start.
Yeah.
They finally stepped up. Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson combined for 50.
Yeah, they stepped on that gas pedal in the past few minutes. Because
they have potential, but they haven't really been showing it as of late.
Mm-hmm. In a game I kind of missed a little bit here was North Carolina on the road against Duke. This is a game to mention.
Mm-hmm. Best rivalry in college basketball.
It's Yankees Sox. It's Packers Bears.
Absolutely.
It's kind of funny that it was between a 7-6 team and a 11-6 team.
This was an exciting game. I watched the majority of this game.
The thing, Duke UNC, just it doesn't disappoint.
It's always
because you remember last year Trey Jones had the two free throws where he intentionally missed and he hit one in regulation and one in OT.
Incredible.
Caleb Love also played the best game of his season.
His crappy season.
Yep, 4 or 5 from 3, 25.
Wow. Impressive stuff there from
Mr. Chocolate Peanut Butter Love.
Just have to mention this because Michigan State, I think they're probably on the bubble right now, I'd say, in the tournament. Win 66-56 against Nebraska ball.
Yay!
Go Michigan State. Do you think Michigan State's making the tournament?
I don't think so.
9-7 as they sit right now.
That's the record?
That's the record, 9-7.
I tend to think they'll squeak in. I think it's going to be like as an 11 in like a play-in game. But I tend to think they'll squeak in just because they're Michigan State.
But if they're on the bubble and there's a obvious Power 5 team or like a mid-major team with a lot more wins, just not as many like big resume wins, you could say, do you think they're going Michigan State there?
See, I don't know. Let's put it this way. Let's say Loyola wins the MVC.
Yes.
And then you're looking at, like, let's say...
Smet Larges. Drake is an at-large.
Gets to the conference final and loses. If you're giving me Drake versus MSU, I'm taking Drake.
Same. But I don't think that would necessarily be a debate between the voters, although you never know because sometimes their Power 5 bias really seeps in. But I tend to think it would be more between, like,
Richmond?
Yeah, like an A-10 sort of team. I don't know. I tend to think if Drake has like 2 losses and they somehow don't win their conference championship, they'd probably be in.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I tend to think. But then again, you never know.
It's kind of a wait and see with that. I don't know. I would much rather have the power or the mid-major team in because
it's always more fun.
Always more fun.
I just don't think they can put it together. And obviously, playing in the Big Ten, there's no freebies except Nebraska, who they just got out of the way. So
fair.
I think they're gonna honestly drop to under 500 and therefore miss a tourney.
I probably would agree with that. But to cap off the night, I think I have found a Pac-12 team that I enjoy watching, and that's USC.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Washington because I love watching Eric Stevenson play.
Okay. that's meme-based. This is like, I actually like, USC is kind of fun to watch.
You like the Mobley Bros?
Yeah. They're a 15-3 team.
Yeah.
They defeated UCLA, 66-48. UCLA was ranked 21 at that time.
And that is and when UCLA loses, and when they lose bad like that, the first thing I do is I go look at Tiger Campbell's stat line.
Yep.
And
he stunk.
7 points, 3-10 from the field.
Yeah. When Tiger Campbell has a bad game, it's like, it's not even that Tiger Campbell's like some incredible player,
mm-hmm.
but I've noticed that the team really runs through him.
Yes.
They really run through Tiger Campbell. Oh, yes. When he is off game, I mean, good luck for UCLA, because they're not going to do anything.
They stand no chance, 100%, yeah. But this USC team is kind of the only team that I'd see winning a game in March right now,
yeah.
In my opinion. It's the only team I'd probably pick at this point, but crazier things have happened.
That's fair. And then on one more game, I think, I don't know if we mentioned this one, but Virginia Tech won in overtime. Did either of you boys get the chance
to watch? No.
I did not get the chance to watch it. I missed that once.
Incredible.
Oh, against
game.
Miami? I feel like I saw the highlights of that one.
Because Miami hit a three with like 2.5 seconds left, and then Vatek drew up an incredible play, and Hunter Couture drained a three to send it to OT
saw the highlight
left.
Of 3-point
Two
shot.
Words for all that happened. Mike Young, great coach.
Looked like a Fletch shot, too, just coming around the screen. Sending it, getting his shoulder square. Yeah, that was a... I just wanted to mention that.
I think if Chris Likes could have laced him up for that game, this might have been a different result.
He would have to get his eighth-year bench eligibility.
Miami has lost so many close games this year.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Like, they're not good, but they don't stink.
Yeah. The record looks like they do stink, but it's not. The records are deceiving. That's pretty much it for Saturday. Moving into Sunday, Iowa. The Fran fade may be real because they lose on the road against Indiana 67-65. Granted, again, another bad shooting night for Iowa, I guess, from three for their big guys. Wieskamp played pretty good, I guess, throughout the first half. He was really their only source of offense because Iowa was in some deep foul trouble in the first half. Keegan Murray, Garza, Connor McCaffrey, and Jay Bolt all had two fouls with, like, 8 minutes left in the first half. It was a nightmare for them.
I've noticed that Indiana tends to give Iowa, and actually especially Luka Garza, trouble.
TJD played incredible this game.
Yeah. They really
and
incorporate.
And Race Thompson played very well as well.
Indiana, more than anyone else, incorporates the Garza gets the ball, I don't know, swarm him like a family of bees.
Exactly. They would have Trey Stackson Davis or whoever was playing the middle would swarm on top of Garza, and they would just clamp him in, like, and it was over after that.
Yeah.
And I think, but I was really missing CJ Frederick right now, though. I think that they're another consistent guy shooter they can have on the edge. But, I don't know, this Iowa team has just given me, like, Luke may be right about that Fran fade. I don't know.
He might be.
Because it's looking
he may have known a thing or two because, or what's that State Farm one? We've known a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
Yes.
Might be Luke.
He might be with them with that. But Drake picks up the first loss of the season on Sunday. Valpo defeats them 74-57 at home.
Valpo played them really close in the first matchup, too.
Yes, they did.
Drake was down pretty big in that game, and they pulled a nice comeback.
Here's the one question that I know is on everyone's mind. What was Brock Pappas' stat line?
I doubt he played.
he didn't play.
But
little inside joke there.
Bot. Villanova picks up a win against Georgetown, 84-74. They kind of needed a little win, no matter who it was against. They needed a bounce-back win. But the game kind of to mention, other than that Iowa game, is Boise State drops another one to Nevada, 73-62.
Damn, is that two straight to Nevada?
Two straight to Nevada.
Blue Court Broncos, what is you doing?
The Blue Court Broncos are now 14-4 after starting 14-1.
It's not bad, but when you start 14-1, it is bad, you know?
That's three straight losses.
It's a perception thing, really.
Yeah. But that wraps up the games from Monday, kind of moving into today. There's not really too many games that we have to mention other than Minnesota defeats Nebraska 70-61. Kind of an easy sweep-up win for them there. Ohio State on the road against Maryland wins 73-65, kind of continuing their dominant run over the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, and Maryland tends to actually play people kind of tough at home sometimes, so, you know.
Yeah, fair to say.
Rack up another one for OSU.
Yep, Kansas at home. Defeats Okie State, a ranked Okie State team. Imagine that. Okie State is ranked and Kansas is not. When the hell is the last time that's happened?
I don't know.
It's been a minute, but Kansas wins 78-66. Cade Cunningham does have ice in his veins, confirmed. He's a bucket.
Yeah.
But
what was Cade Cunningham's line that game?
I think he...
26-9 today.
Yeah.
But looking at Kansas's guys, they had all five starters in double figures and three guys had double-doubles. That's a good sign for Kansas, for sure.
It is. 100%, yeah. And Gonzaga's up 15 right now on BYU, so they're going to pull that one off. And that's pretty much wraps up our games to recap here. And we'll get in a few days of games to look forward to.
Yeah.
So moving into Tuesday.
I hope this slate's good. I want to give out some stellar picks.
It's pretty good, I'd say. Yeah, there's a lot of like blow potential matchups. We'll just mention this one. Duke-Notre Dame. Duke favored by 7 in that game. I don't know why. Because they ain't that good.
Yeah, give me Notre Dame to cover.
That's I'm a game definitely I don't taking, like.
Yeah, that's an awful game. How about this
that
one?
That you wouldn't want to bet on?
Mm-mm.
I don't know. It just seems like
I bet Notre Dame to cover. That's like free
money.
The
thing is, I don't know who could guard Jalen Johnson for Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Jalen Johnson's healthy now, and I don't know.
I don't know. This seems like free money if I've ever seen it.
How about this is free money? Alabama on the road against 5-7 South Carolina.
That's kind of what I was
thinking. 6.5 point under or favorites. Only 6.5 is the line on that.
That's free money.
Imagine a Duke Notre Dame line being more than an Alabama South Carolina line.
In tomorrow's parlay, that'll be on our ideal parlay that we kind of like to release on Tuesdays.
We'll have them covering on that. Yep. BBN, Big Blue Nation, hosting Arkansas, favored by 2 points. Sorry. BBN is now, or is 2 point favorites right now. Do we like Arkansas to cover there?
I like Arkansas to cover.
It's another tough one.
That's not tough to pick, though. I don't know why you're saying that's tough to pick.
I'm picking Arkansas to cover.
There's been this false narrative spread on this podcast, and I am not to blame for it, that Kentucky is like somehow like been on the rise the past few weeks. They have not.
I'm thinking Arkansas to cover here.
All day. These first three have been easy choices.
Texas on the road against Kansas State, favored by 14.5. Kansas State, pretty much a D2 team, so.
Yeah, but I still don't know if that's what I want
to. I know. I probably wouldn't pick that, honestly, because.
I mean, if I have to, I would take Texas to cover.
Probably, if I had to pick something.
But I don't know. That's not a game I really want to bet on.
Probably the game of the night is West Virginia on the road against Texas Tech. Texas Tech is 6-point favorites in this game.
Do we remember the last time they played?
Yes, they do.
It was a great game.
It was a one-possession game. And I think it's going to be a one-possession game.
And West Virginia pulled it out. I think that was at West Virginia when they won on us? Yeah, so this one's at Texas Tech. I don't know.
I think I like West Virginia to cover.
I don't know about when. I'm not going to solidify my win.
I'll probably pick Texas Tech to win, but I would say, if anything, I'm picking West Virginia to cover.
Probably, it's 6-point. I think it's going to be a one-possession
game. I like Derek Culver. I think he gives Texas Tech a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fair point to make there. And then probably the last game to mention here is the Johnnies.
Gimme game. Absolute gimme.
What is it?
Take the Johnnies.
Let him say it.
Butler is a 6-10 team at home against the Johnnies, and Butler are 3-point favorites.
How are they not favorites?
Johnny's money line, honestly.
Johnny's money line. And I'm going to say Vegas. I don't normally say this, but Vegas, this is a little disrespectful.
I don't
disrespect Vegas.
I do not want to see this Johnny's run come to an end.
Slandering Vegas is just not a move that the people love to see, really.
But the Johnny's have been too hot. Maybe Vegas knows something we don't. They always do, actually.
They tend to know.
They always know something that nobody else knows.
That's what's scary.
Roll Johnny's, though. I think we're all in the USA.
Roll Johnny's.
But that wraps up Tuesday, moving into Wednesday. Lines are not out for this game, and some good games have been postponed already. Baylor, Oklahoma. God, all these good Big 12 games.
Yeah, honestly, Big 12 is really the main culprit of all these canceled games I've started to notice.
Oklahoma's had some COVID problems for a while. They haven't had many games canceled, but they've been missing a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just some games to point out here. Houston on the road against South Florida, hoping to get a bounce-back win after their East Carolina loss. Virginia on the road against the rambling wreck of the Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech at home.
You may think potential trap game.
I don't think so. UVA is a top 10
team. I'm still thinking.
You're thinking about the rambling wreck of Georgia Tech, and that's respectable because they're the CEO, co-CEO of big upsets.
I don't know. Virginia just got like a nice win or two. I feel like they're due for a loss. This isn't like a great Virginia team. Give me the rambling wreck.
Rambling Wreck of Georgia Tech have a true support.
It is known. It is known that the Rambling Wreck can pull off upsets, can and will.
Fair, and I think that we have another upset that's going to come from Charlie here. Rutgers on the road against Iowa.
Yeah,
3-3 game loss streak for Iowa.
Yeah, I think Rutgers wants some revenge.
I think that Iowa needs to not lose 3 games in a row, and I think they're going to win this one.
I like Iowa in this one as well.
Like no lines on any of these games.
As long as the key to that game is Miles
MJ
Johnson
versus LG.
If Miles Johnson can stay out of foul trouble, this game is all but won for Rutgers.
Fair.
Okay. All but won.
I don't know if that goes far to say that. Okay, this is a classic Big East game. Nova hosting Marquette. Normally, this is like a Marquette. Marquette always seems to get it done once a year against Villanova, I feel like.
They have the last 3 years, I think.
Gotten at least
split,
one?
Split, I think.
Yeah, that's not happening this year.
I don't like it this year.
I don't
this Marquette team kind of stinks.
Especially considering Nova just recently lost to the Johnnies. I don't see them dropping a game to the Johnnies.
Hey, and Marquette. No disrespect to the Johnnies.
Hey, this is no Johnny slander. This is more Marquette respect for Nova.
More respect.
And Marquette slander.
And Marquette slander. All in one combo. That's fair. It's a combo meal.
It's a combo.
I love to see it. Missouri on the road against Ole Miss. Ole Miss has recently beaten Tennessee at home. I don't think I see Missouri falling to Ole Miss, although I do think anything is possible.
Yeah.
Especially in this wild SEC.
I still don't see Ole Miss.
The SEC is wild.
Yeah, it is. SEC, anything can happen.
Anything can also happen in the Big Ten where Nebraska ball hosts Wisconsin. And Wisconsin, if they lose this game, I am going to damn near
blow a gasket
and go for a 25-mile run and just blow off some steam, because this is going to be an absolute travesty, especially in this city.
You're acting like as if they've already lost it. If Wisconsin loses to Nebraska, that would be bananas. Because Nebraska,
they're not going to.
Nebraska ball stinks.
Bad.
They're not going to lose, but I think it could be close.
I do not.
I think Wisconsin by 7 or 8.
I think I want to see the line on this game, and if it's tight, then I'm going to be scared.
See, I see Wisconsin by 15.
I know, but if the line's tight.
They're not going to be a 15.
If the line's tight, though.
I'm saying that's what I envision the game, Alex. That's why if the line's less than double digits, I'm slamming Wisconsin to cover.
I would be worried if Vegas puts Wisconsin at 6-point favorites, because that's going to make me feel like that they have a serious chance to lose, and I'm going to freak out.
Yeah.
That wraps up the games to look forward to from Wednesday. And I think we're going to be back with the podcast, obviously, not 8 days from now. That we are...
Yeah, we're going to be better than that, we promise.
100%.
Sorry, but I'm actually going to throw out an upset pick for Wednesday. Should have mentioned this earlier, but I like Georgia to go on the road and beat Tennessee on Wednesday night.
I did miss that game.
On the road?
And I apologize.
Georgia's been playing decent basketball.
Apologies for that missing game.
I don't know if I can get quite on board with that one. But yeah, as Wesley said, it's not going to be 8 days before we record again. We promise to be better as the season itself gets better, because it's already starting to get good.
It's we're almost into mid-February and things are heating up.
Maybe the selection Sunday countdown's going to start. Remember last year, every day I would start out, I'd say, Wesley, how many days till selection Sunday? Bang. And you'd hit me with the number.
I think once it gets under 30, I think we're good to go.
Oh, absolutely good to go.
100%.
But yeah, and stay tuned to our social media. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, because we're posting that ideal parlay tomorrow. And if you want to make some money, bet on it. Last week, Tennessee absolutely sold us. They sold us on that parlay. But we're going to put a little more time, a little more effort into it. And I'm thinking tomorrow's parlay is going to hit.
So, I agree. So there's no better feeling than having a parlay hit, by the way.
Oh, yeah, you would know, right?
I actually would.
Yeah, but anyways, until next time, this is Made in March.
God bless Lenny.